logo of the globe is shown and the words Universal and MCA Company. There's an ancient spear with a broken shaft over which are the following captions. No one knows who first used the sacred lance of the Lakota Indians. Legend has it that the lance could kill 3 buffalo with 1 throw. From generation to generation, the lance has been passed down. It will remain with the tribe as long as there are Lakota. British Sky Broadcasting presents Renegades, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Buster McHenry and Lou Diamond Phillips as Hank. It's written by David Rich and directed by Jack Shoulder, voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. There's a small living room furnished with simple furniture, a rocking chair, a small dresser, and an armchair in the corner. Hank, a slim young man of Native American appearance with long black hair and a thoughtful demeanor, is packing some belongings into a holdall in a bedroom set back from the lounge. He puts on a brown suede jacket, and taking some keys off the dresser, he moves outside. He slings the bag over his shoulder and strolls away from his small stone-clad house. He moves past a wooden cabin with a pile of logs outside it. He reaches a pickup truck where there are 2 other Native American-looking men. One is older with a weathered face and has long grey hair tied back in a ponytail. He wears a light brown fringed cowboy jacket and Stetson. The other is tall and stocky and wearing a beige jacket. There's a small family group with them and they're saying their goodbyes. Three older Native American men, tribe elders perhaps, stride up to the group dressed in the clothes of the modern cattle rancher, Stetsons, denim jackets, lumberjack shirts and jeans. The older member of the leaving party approaches the 3 newcomers. One of the elders unwraps some cloth from around a broken spear. He makes ritualistic movements with it as he encants a prayer. It is rewrapped in cloth, then handed to the man in the cowboy jacket.
You bring it back to us safely. This lance is the life of our people.
Oh, my God, yes.
The recipient takes the bundle and again makes stylized movements, pointing it towards the sky. He hands it to the tall guy in the beige jacket, and Hank, the tall man, and the older man get into the front of the pickup truck. The truck drives off. The group of well-wishers wave as it heads down a dusty track. Nighttime. On the corner of a street in a less than salubrious part of town is Paddy's Pub. A guy in his 30s walks in wearing a collarless denim shirt, black leather jacket and jeans. He has medium-length blonde hair and a moustache.
94 WYSP, Philadelphia.
Charlie, can you make a cup of coffee?
Yeah, okay, Buster.
Buster sits at the bar and picks up a newspaper, which he starts to read. He lights a cigarette as the bartender pours him a coffee.
Thanks a lot.
A slim woman with an auburn-coloured bob haircut and a short skirt walks in looking cold.
Hey, on your way, sister. This is for paying customers only. Come on, beat it.
Charlie, she's with me.
Yeah?
The woman approaches the bar slowly and sits next to Buster. He glances round at her, then returns to reading his paper.
You look real beautiful tonight. Kind of brighten up the place.
You want a party?
Nope. I'll buy you a drink.
Bourbon Coke.
In the street outside, a police car has pulled over a dark blue car, inside which are 4 young men of Oriental appearance. 2 patrolmen approach the car.
Step out of the car.
Check this out, they're gonna fuck it up.
Who?
Cops.
Can I please see some license and registration?
You don't like cops?
Hate them.
Is that your current address?
Yeah.
Check it out. What did I do?
Come on.
Hey. I'll go sit by that window.
With a look of concern, the woman sits back down next to Buster and they continue to watch events outside.
All right, spread your legs out, keep your feet back. Step out of the car, please. Put your hands on the back of the car.
One of the men in the back of the car has a gun.
Get out!
One of the cops is shot. The driver points his gun at the other cop and gets him in a headlock. Another police car has arrived and there's an exchange of fire. The gangster fires a glancing shot against the cop's head.
I mean that man, I gotta kill this motherfucker!
Son of a bitch. Charlie, I have to catch you next time.
Put them down! Now!
Jay, we're putting them down! Put your weapons down! Put them down! Put them down! No! Weapons down! Come on! No!
See?
It's all the commotion here.
What's going on here?
Get out of there!
Hey, buddy. I'm just trying to find my fucking car, okay?
Get the hell out of there now!
I should just relax. Really sorry about this. I can't find my car. You know, you should try and relax a little more. You'd have a much better time. Just relax there, buddy, okay?
Buster gets the gangster in the headlock.
Hey, what the fuck are you doing, man? Huh?
Let's see if you got any brains, asshole. Tell your fucking friends to put their guns down now.
Now!
Buster shoots two of the accomplices.
Hey, asshole! Come on! Come on, asshole! Now!
The last gangster puts down his gun. Buster punches him.
Okay, let's go! Come on! Come on! Do it! Now! Get him over here!
Buster's pushed over a car bonnet. A cop searches him and finds his handgun.
He's packing, Sarge. 38.
Who the hell are you? I'll tell you what you are. You're a menace. And this city doesn't need people like you getting in the way of police business.
Yeah, well, I guess you just should have stayed home, huh?
You got a license for this?
Yeah.
Where?
Right here.
Buster slaps the detective across the face. The detective punches Buster in the mouth, knocking him out cold against the side of a car. Denny Ransom's a senior detective at the police department. He's got a receding hairline and wears a jacket and tie. He saunters down a corridor lined with holding cell bars. As one of the cell doors is opened, he smiles wryly and gestures at Buster.
Come on, McHenry.
Cool, man.
Buster trudges off down the corridor. He twists his neck as if in mild discomfort. Then he's led into the office of Lieutenant Finch, and the detective who punched him the night before is waiting in there too. Neither of them look happy. Finch addresses Buster.
Officer McHenry, this is Detective Geddes.
Where's Matt?
I'm aware of that. He will now apologize to Detective Geddes.
What do you want me to do? Promise I won't hit him again?
The detective storms out of the office.
Damn it, Buster. I just can't go around hitting cops.
Mike, the guy put his gun down. He's got no brains, no balls. Want a cigarette?
No, I'm trying to quit. I thought you were supposed to be on vacation.
I am. Don't I look relaxed?
You look like the inside of a chicken coop. Now, what's going on here? You working something on your own?
Buster and Finch head outside.
You know, you could try talking to me. I might be able to help.
I don't need any help. No backup, no report.
What do you mean, no report?
No paperwork. Just give me a couple of days.
You know, working on your own is one thing, but if you're going after somebody in the department... Hey, hold it, hold it. What's going on here?
Mike, I spent the night in the drunk tank. I'm tired. I'd like to go home and take a shower, if you don't mind.
Fine. Go home. Go to Nassau. Go anywhere you don't have to wear those clothes for a while. But just don't fuck up again, because I promise you, I cannot cover your ass next time.
Mike, I fuck up on this one. I'm dead.
Hey, that's not funny. Now come on, I'll give you a ride home.
A jumbo jet's coming into land. At the arrivals gate inside the airport is a woman of Native American appearance and two boys. The tall man in the beige jacket emerges and gives the woman a kiss and a hug. The older man in the cowboy jacket embraces the woman too. Hank lingers and eventually greets her too. Meanwhile, Buster's in his apartment. He's now wearing a lemon-coloured short-sleeved shirt and beige slacks. He looks at his appearance in the mirror of a dresser. He opens one of the dresser drawers and takes out a pistol, the barrel of which he checks. He then leaves the room, tucking the gun into the waistband of his trousers. Then he's sitting in a car which is parked on a busy street. He's watching a smartly dressed man in a long blue raincoat who approaches a door over which is a canopy marked Chiala's. The man enters the Italian restaurant. It's closed for business, but some unsavory-looking individuals are gathered at a table.
Showtime, huh?
I hope so.
The guy's not here yet. You want something to drink? Some wine, coffee, nothing?
No,
something
not your eat? Food. No, not your food. Ain't nothing changing.
Buster enters the restaurant. Marino, a slickly dressed young man with dark hair and a thin face, glares, then smiles at Buster and shakes his hand.
How you doing?
Good.
Have a seat.
A young dark-haired woman stands up and is being hurried out of the room by Marino.
Listen, I gotta talk to him. I hope you understand.
Yes, I understand.
Okay. I'll call you.
Okay.
He kisses the woman's neck. Buster glances round at them, then notices Matt, a dark-haired Italian-looking man who's eating pasta in front of him. Marino kisses his girlfriend again and pats Buster on the back.
You're late.
Yeah.
So where's the cop?
Why, nervous?
Why should I be?
You're going in for a great deal of money. And I'm nervous, that makes me very nervous.
You got the combination, right?
Stinkoff.
The deal is the cop gives me the combination, then I go in and our deal changed. The bookkeeper will have the combination.
I brought you the best deal on this planet, man. $2 million in stolen diamonds, completely untraceable. Your end of the deal was the goddamn cop gives me the combination. That's my security.
Who the fuck do you think you're talking to? Some street punk? You brought this to me, thank you. It works out great. You help me, I help you. You feel you can't trust me, then we got a problem. Just walk out. You already know how to use the door.
Matt stares at Buster menacingly.
Let's just get it over with.
He's right. Let's go.
Marino and his henchmen get up from the table. Buster lingers for a moment. He touches his face nervously, then follows the group out of the restaurant. A silver transit van pulls up alongside a row of shops in a commercial quarter of town. JJ, Marino's blue-coated henchman, gets out, followed by other members of the gang. They head through a door, and they march down a corridor. They stride through another door, and up a flight of stairs. Marino's carrying a silver case. Buster is glancing round, checking the coast is clear. They reach a door. Buster and JJ cock their guns. Matt strolls nonchalantly through the door and along a corridor to another door marked Weinstock Jewelers, Diamond Dealers. He tries to open the door, but the receptionist at the desk gestures at him to use the intercom.
Yes?
I'm here to pick up a ring. Reed Dinelli.
Mr. Rosen said I should come by this morning.
Just a minute, please.
On the stairwell, Marino indicates to Buster that he should put on his balaclava like JJ has done. Buster does so. Matt's still waiting outside the jeweler's. A couple emerge from a nearby lift. The gangster keeps his back to them as they pass him by.
Okay.
He enters the jeweler's.
You can see Mr. Weinstock. He's inside.
In the stairwell, Buster nods at Marino. Matt is standing in the jeweler's workshop. A smart, bespectacled young man takes an envelope off a workbench in front of him.
How are you? Normally, we like to have the person who took care of you stay with you, but unfortunately, Mr. Rosen is no longer with us. I think you'll be very pleased with this, though. The setting is very popular.
Yeah. Tell the receptionist to open the front door, Mr. Weinstock. Now, do it. Live to collect that insurance.
Rose, would you buzz open the front door, please?
Nobody's out there.
Just do it, please!
The receptionist pushes a concealed button under her desk.
Yes, Mr. Weinstock?
Go!
The masked men burst in.
Get up! Get up! Get in the back.
Open the door, please.
Come on! Anything you want, but please don't hurt anybody. Please.
His face is pushed through a window.
Shut up, bitch.
Keep your eyes on the fucking wall. Don't fuck with me.
Marino, also in a balaclava, tucks his gun back inside his jacket.
Keep your eyes on the wall.
He picks up a scrap of paper from off a desk and passes it to Buster. Buster kneels in front of a large safe in the middle of the room. He looks at the scrap of paper and starts to turn the dial on the front of the safe. The gang leader picks up bits of jewelry and admires them. JJ, carrying a submachine gun, looks round nervously. Buster unlocks the safe and opens it up. He starts to look through and discard trays of jewels inside it. He carefully picks up one tray covered in sparkly diamonds. Marino marches over to him.
This is nice.
He taps Buster on the arm and moves over to the employees.
You know, I really would appreciate it if you turn around and face the wall, thank you. And no alarms for, let's say, 10 minutes, please. This is what you'll get.
He shoots one of the employees in the head and moves away. Buster's rooted to the spot, looking shocked.
Come on, man, let's go!
Buster hurries out with the others. In the stairwell, he grabs Marino by the lapels.
What the fuck are you doing?
There was supposed to be no shooting.
Guys.
But Marino grabs Buster.
He was weak. He was weak enough to make a deal. He was weak enough to talk about it. We're wasting time.
He lets Buster go and they all head down the stairs. The driver of the getaway van's looking in his rear-view mirror.
Go around the back! Go around the back! Go around the fucking back! Go around the back!
The getaway van drives away and a police car stops in its place.
Fuck off! Let's go!
They run out of the back of the building. Pursued by cops, they run down an alley which the getaway van appears at the end of. But the van driver speeds away, pursued by police cars. In the alleyway, the cops are closing in. Matt draws his gun and gets shot. The rest of the gang rush down the street, brandishing their weapons. The group run down a side street. A car swerves to a stop in front of them. A car bashes into Buster, but he vaults the front of it. They turn a corner, but their path's blocked by a police car. The three men continue down the side street, but again they're faced with approaching patrol cars. They rush into a nearby gallery where there's an exhibition of Native American art. Standing in the corner are the three Native American men who made the plane journey.
Everybody down.
It's clear. Come on, Bobby, we gotta move.
Let's go.
Come on.
Come on.
Marino has spotted the spear in a display cabinet.
God damn it. Come on, Bobby, we ain't got time for this art shit.
Marino smashes the glass case containing the spear.
No! No! Guys!
Back off.
Marino points his gun at Hank. Buster reaches for his gun, but JJ knocks him to the floor and disarms him. Marino glares at Buster for a moment, then grabs the ancient spear and heads coolly out of the room. JJ yanks Buster to his feet, and they both leave too. Outside, Marino stands beside a big black sedan car and points his gun at Buster.
You drive, partner.
Sir Lance.
The elderly Native American speaks to Hank over the body of their dead companion. Inside the getaway car...
Jesus Christ, man!
The car speeds off round a corner. Police are standing in the road, firing towards the car, knocking out the headlights. Buster drives straight at them, and they fling themselves out of the way. Hank bursts out of the back door of the art gallery.
That way!
The getaway car rejoins the city traffic. Hank sprints down the street in pursuit. The black car skids round a corner and careers into the side of another car.
Hey, what's that?
Traffic in the street is heavy and slow-moving. The getaway car swerves from one side of the road to the other, trying to get through the jam.
Let's go!
Two police cars emerge onto the main street and start to wiggle their way through the rush-hour traffic. Hank is running past the slow-moving cars in pursuit too. JJ, in the passenger seat of the sedan, has his gun aimed at Buster's head. Buster turns the car the wrong way down a one-way street.
What the fuck are you doing? Come on, man, just give me a second here!
He continues snaking the car through the traffic. Hank is running over the tops of cars as he continues his pursuit.
Kill him.
No, come on!
The car hurtles onto the pavement. People flee in all directions.
No!
A mother pushing a pram is narrowly avoided. The car continues through a number of market stalls, destroying each one in its path. It finally crashes into a pretzel wagon and skids back into the road. Hank runs over more cars blocking his way as he continues his pursuit. Two police cars form a roadblock, and the getaway car speeds towards an office building.
Holy shit! Watch it!
The car crashes through a huge glass window, hurtles through the office, and smashes through the window on the other side and out into the back street. Hank runs round a corner and stops. He looks at the wreckage of the office building and watches two police cars drive past. He jumps into a red sports car whose owner is standing chatting to a cop nearby, staring at the office carnage.
Hey! Hey! This guy's stealing my car, officer!
The getaway car is now dented and damaged. Two police cars speed after it under a road bridge, and the chase continues in a more industrial area. The red sports car now emerges under the road bridge and stops. Hank looks round, then heads off again. The getaway car is speeding round an industrial estate. A police car blocks its path. The getaway car smashes into the side of it. The two cars continue side by side back into the main road. Buster swerves the car to avoid an oncoming juggernaut. There are now three patrol cars pursuing the sedan. Another almost collides with the black car, and the five cars are grouped together round a corner. The sedan is now being followed as it speeds along a railway track. Up ahead, lorries are passing on the crossing. The cars continue along the track. The lorries are blocking their path. The sedan's about to crash into the lorries. Somehow, the getaway car threads itself through a gap between the lorries and continues onwards, with the patrol cars still in pursuit. The sedan crashes through the gates into the grounds of a factory complex. It drives down a narrow alley in between factory buildings. One of the patrol cars is now alongside the getaway car. Buster veers the sedan into it, sending it crashing into a row of oil barrels. Up ahead, a crane is lifting more barrels. The cars swerve to avoid it.
Watch out! Watch out!
One of the patrol cars speeds up a ramp and into a lorry, which it bursts through the front of, coming crashing down on top of one of the other police cars. The robber's car hurtles past a pile of oil drums and rubbish. One of the police cars spins and crashes into the pile. The other pursuing cars bash into each other and come to a stop. The getaway car continues round another corner. The gang members relax a little.
Nice driving, partner.
Buster drives the car more calmly along a quiet road in the industrial area.
Turn left over there. Right there. Yeah.
Buster turns the wheel and the car heads through some chicken wire gates and into a quarry. Buster drives slowly round the deserted area, being watched by Marino and JJ. Buster suddenly steps on the gas. He spins the car and reverses at speed. He pushes JJ's gun away and slams on the brakes just as its back wheels are tipping over the edge into a reservoir. Buster punches the henchman. He's about to get out of the car, but Marino points his gun at the back of Buster's head.
Close the door.
JJ bashes Buster in the side with his gun. The silver transit van drives up to them.
Hey, Bob. Who's there?
Boss? You don't know what happened. I'm so glad I found you guys.
Thanks for your help, partner.
Marino shoots Buster in the back through the seat. He and JJ get out of the car and head towards the transit van.
Hey, boss. I tried, boss.
The gang get into their van. On the front seat of the black car, Buster is gripping his torso, looking terrified. He looks down at the palm of his hand, which is covered in fresh blood. The grey transit van reverses back through the quarry. In great pain, Buster uses his blood-covered hand to open the door, and he flops out of the car and onto the gravel. He continues to press against the massive wound in the right side of his abdomen. The red sports car is parked nearby, and Hank strolls up to him. Dressed in jeans, a red shirt, and a dark suit jacket, Hank crouches beside the undercover cop.
Get me to a hospital. Please. Police officer.
Hank looks down at the wound.
You can't die yet. I need you alive.
Hank presses a rag against the wound and pulls Buster up by the lapels. Back in the city, the red car stops outside a large grey guest house, the Springwood Hotel. Buster's in the passenger seat, his face is pale, and his hair is matted with sweat.
We're here.
Buster peers at the city's street life on the pavement.
This is not a hospital.
You got any money on you? Come on, I don't have all day.
My jacket.
Got it.
Hank takes a handful of cash from Buster's jacket pocket.
Can you walk?
Buster looks at him woozily.
Good.
Hank gets out of the car. Still gripping his blood-covered wound, Buster starts to cough. Hank walks into the smoky lobby of the guest house. The unsmiling guy at the reception counter is in an open shirt and dirty vest, playing draughts with an older man.
Like a room?
In here.
Two beds. How much is that going to run me?
40 a night.
Hank tosses a couple of bills on the counter.
I'll take it.
Outside, Hank opens the passenger side door of the car.
Come on.
He pulls Buster up onto his feet and supports him into the guesthouse lobby.
Oh, sorry, Chief. Elevator's out of order.
Hank lifts Buster over his shoulder in a fireman carry and trudges up the staircase.
Must be on their honeymoon.
Hank comes out of the ensuite bathroom carrying a bowl of water and towel. Buster's lying on a bed in the twin room. A great deal more blood has now seeped onto his shirt. Hank sits on the edge of the bed and rips open Buster's shirt. He lifts up Buster's vest and pulls out a pocket knife.
Oh, wait.
He cuts the vest open down the middle, then puts the knife down on the bedside table.
Who are you?
But Hank ignores him and continues to methodically tend the wound. He dips a corner of the towel into the water, then starts to dab away the blood on Buster's abdomen. An older African-American cop with a moustache and grey suit strolls into Lieutenant Finch's office.
What's up, Captain?
One of your men may have been involved in that armed robbery on Jewelers Row. Buster McHenry?
Well, maybe he was in the area, just figured he'd check it out. He's been doing some undercover work.
He wasn't there as a cop, Lieutenant. He was part of the crime.
You sure about that?
Since when has McHenry been working undercover?
He's doing something on his own.
Like what?
The police captain leans on Finch's desk.
Lieutenant, I've got two men dead. People shooting at cops. Five vehicles busted to shit. Now slowly, so I can enjoy it. Tell me you don't know what he's working on.
Should be calling into me, I'll check it out.
Get his ass in here, will you? Before I get pissed off.
He marches out of the office. Ransom enters the room and plonks himself down on a chair in front of Finch's desk.
What's with you, Lieutenant? Why do you always take the heat for that kid?
He's okay.
Nah, I don't think so. Nigga's a fucking crook, just like his old man.
Hey, you don't know nothing about his old man, so just shut up! Get out of my office!
Ransom glares at Finch, then gets up and leaves. Finch has his hands clasped together in front of his face as he thinks. Nighttime, Hank is heading along a dark residential street. He stops and moves slowly towards one of the houses. He climbs the steps, opens the screen door, and knocks on the front door. Inside, the decor is homely but modest. The brown-haired woman from the airport puts down a tea towel and comes to the door. Two kids are sitting watching TV nearby. Hank enters the house. He doesn't take his eyes off the young woman, as if willing her to say something.
George is gone. I'm sorry.
Hank stares at her, open-mouthed. He takes a slight step back and leans on an armchair. The woman hugs him tightly. Hank shuts his eyes for a moment, still in shock. The older Native American who made the trip enters the living room. He's now dressed in a lumberjack shirt and jeans. Hank looks at him somberly.
Dad?
He slowly approaches the grey-haired man. They stand looking at each other for a moment.
Your help.
I thought you might.
There's a full moon in the night sky. In the hotel room, Hank's father is sitting by Buster's bed. He's using a feather to waft smoke from a small bowl over Buster's body. Hank's pacing around at the edge of the room. Daylight over the city. Buster half opens his eyes in the hotel bed.
You'll live, I think.
He looks round at Hank, who's perched on the radiator.
You did good.
The older man looks back at Buster, who's sleeping again. He nods wisely.
The Lakotas, as far as I know, have never been without the lance.
I'll get it back.
I know you will. When you left home, I thought I lost you forever. And that hurt me. But then, when you came back, at first I didn't understand why.
I guess I got tired of being on the road.
No. You came back because that's where you belong.
Hank's staring out of the window. He slowly looks round at his father. The old man glances at him for a moment, then continues to pack his things into a leather pouch. Hank looks out of the window again. A light blue car heads down the drive of a country ranch, where Marino, dressed more casually, is training a horse. JJ gets out of the car and approaches him.
Whoa. Whoa. Nice. Nice.
Hey, Bob.
He's a cop.
A dead cop?
Yeah, nobody knows anything. They haven't found a body.
Assume he's alive. Get the word out on the street. Find him before the cops do.
You got it.
In the hotel room, Buster's lying bare-chested in his bed. He has a blood-soaked dressing over the wound. His head twists round, and he seems to wake with a jolt. He looks round, then touches the bandage. He throws back the covers and sits on the edge of the bed, gripping his side. He reaches for his shoes. Hank enters the lobby of the guesthouse carrying a bag of groceries. He spots two sinister men, both with dark ponytails, who are waiting at the lift. In the room, Buster's still shirtless, but his shoes are now on. As he hears someone coming, he pulls the bed sheets back over him and lies down. Hank enters the room. He puts the bag of groceries down on a side table, then stands over Buster. He touches the cop's wound, and putting his hand over Buster's mouth, he pulls off his bedclothes.
We're getting out of here.
You fucking do that to me again, I'll kill you.
Hank pulls up a sash window.
Smith and Company.
I don't know, you tell me.
Hank opens the bedroom door and looks out of it. Buster manages to sit up again.
You want to tell me what I'm doing here?
You're going to help me find your partner. I'm going to take back what he stole. And then I'm going to kill him. Let's go.
Hey. Was there an old Indian praying over me the other night?
That's right.
He helps Buster to his feet.
You don't believe in that shit, do you?
I am that shit.
With Buster's arm round his neck, Hank supports the undercover cop and struggles with him down a corridor. The two ponytailed heavies are coming up the stairs. Hank tries another bedroom door, which opens, and they head inside. In the narrow corridor, the two gangsters pull handguns out of holsters inside their suit jackets. They burst into Hank's old room. One of the men touches the bloodstain on Buster's bedsheets. He leans out of the sash window and looks out of it.
I'll see.
They rush out of the room. In the corridor, they start pushing open other bedroom doors. A couple are in their bed in the midst of lovemaking. Hank is sitting on the edge of the bed, his knife aimed at the man's neck. Hank gestures to the man to be silent because the gangsters are trying to open their locked door. One of the men gives the door a mighty shove. The other one looks at him.
Outside.
They rush off down the corridor. Inside the bedroom, Hank takes his knife away from the man's neck. The man's face sinks into the pillow in relief. Buster shuts his eyes in relief too. Then Buster's asleep. His head turns slowly on the pillow. He suddenly blinks and starts to wake up. He half opens his eyes and looks around at his new surroundings. He lifts his head slightly, looking confused. A teenage boy with short black hair and a Native American appearance is standing over him. Buster's lying on a bed in the boy's bedroom. There are space posters on the wall and a desk in the corner.
Is your daddy home?
The boy shakes his head.
No. Is your mama home?
He shakes his head again. Still shirtless, Buster sits up in the little bed and smiles slightly.
Do you know where my clothes are?
No. They're in the wash.
Hank enters the room holding an orange bowl.
Jimmy, why don't you go watch some TV or something, okay?
The boy leaves the room. Hank passes the bowl down to Buster.
Watch something to eat.
Thanks.
Buster sits up and sniffs the contents of the bowl.
So how long have I been asleep?
About a day or so.
24 hours like a day.
That's right.
Oh, shit. Smells good.
Buster flings the bowl at him and lunges for the door. Hank grabs him and throws him back down on the bed.
Glad to see you're feeling better.
Buster grimaces and holds his side. Hank wipes the soup up off the floor.
I hate to disappoint you, Chief, but all you got was a cop. I'm a police officer. I was working undercover.
Don't lie to me.
You don't believe me? What do I have to do? Prove it to you?
Yeah. Prove it.
I don't have to prove anything to you.
Is that right?
Hank starts to leave the room.
Hey. That guy that killed your friend?
Hank stops in the doorway.
His name is Marino. He had a bad cop working for him. I was going for the cop. I never expected it to go down like that.
Hank watches him somberly.
I'm really sorry about your friend, okay?
He was my brother.
Buster looks surprised. Hank trudges slowly out of the room. He flings down a little towel. Buster sighs to himself. Later, Hank's sitting at the dinner table. His father sits next to him.
We'll get started tomorrow.
Do you know what this is?
He's holding what appears to be a pebble.
Yeah, Dad, I know. It's your medicine stone.
I've had it since I was 14. It's brought me a lot of luck.
The old man turns it in his hand thoughtfully, then slams it on the table and it breaks in two. He takes one of the pieces and puts it down next to Hank.
Now there's your good luck stone.
Hank stares at his father.
I get something to eat?
Buster's next to them, wrapped in a blanket.
You better take it. I think you're gonna need it.
Finch enters an office at the police station.
What do you got?
The address on the Indians didn't check out.
What about family, friends, anybody connected to the museum?
There's a relative in Frankfurt, a woman.
Well, all right. You got an address?
Yeah. 99 Schistler Street. You want these?
Yeah. Just drop them on my desk, okay?
Sure, Lieutenant.
Then Hank's in front of a bedroom mirror. He's putting something around his neck. Buster, now in his black leather jacket, stands in the doorway.
You do good work, Chief. I feel great. Thanks. I might have died, huh?
Still might.
Hey, wait. You are Marino, right? So do I. I like to work alone. Why don't you let me go, and I'll go find him. I'll bring your spear back. What do you say?
Get moving.
Okay, fine. But we do things my way.
Hank leads Buster out of the house and down the front steps. He gestures in the direction of his compact red car.
Okay. First thing we gotta do is go to my place. I gotta get some guns. You're nice. I might even show you my badge. I'll drive.
Buster grabs the driver's side door handle.
Trust me. I'm the Indian around here.
Hank looks at his keys a moment, then opens the driver's side door for Buster.
Thanks.
Hank moves around the other side of the car. Buster thinks to himself for a moment. He shakes his head slightly and gets into the car. He unlocks the passenger side door and makes himself comfortable behind the wheel. Hank sits beside him, handing over the keys. Buster pumps the accelerator.
What are you trying to do, flood it?
No, I'm putting some gas in the carburetor.
Buster pulls a switch and the bonnet releases. The two men get out of the car and Buster lifts the bonnet.
Right here.
See that thing there? Butterfly valve. Put your finger on it. I'll start her up.
Hank presses the valve on the engine a little self-consciously. He shakes his head.
Still got your finger on it?
Buster reverses the car backwards as fast as he can. He reverses straight down the street. He swerves round a corner into a side street and stops the car. He gets out of the car and is about to shut the car bonnet. Hank is sitting on the front of the car, glaring at him. He slams the bonnet shut and grabs Buster by the jacket.
I'll drive this time.
Chief, come on. My wound. Ow! Okay.
Hank shoves Buster into the car and marches round to the driver's side.
Okay. It wasn't a nice thing to do. But I don't want to hear you talking about killing Marino. I'm a cop, and I'm going to take him down. And if we're going to work together, you don't kill him.
And I promise I won't try to ditch you anymore.
That's so fine.
No, really, I appreciate a good story.
My brother, George. You know the one you killed?
I didn't kill him.
He used to lie a lot when he was younger. Wouldn't stop, just like you. One day an older boy took a hunting knife and cut his tongue. It's just a little cut, but it must have hurt. It scared him.
That's the funniest story I've ever heard.
Shit. Keep going.
Cops?
Yeah. Son of a bitch, they're watching my goddamn house.
What about the guns?
I got another idea. Turn left up here. I bet you one of these guys will be packing.
Is that so?
My old man used to always say you gotta trust somebody sometime.
My dad used to tell me that when I did, I picked the wrong person.
I ain't got no problems here. We seem to get along fine, Chief.
Listen, I'm not a chief, so don't call me Chief. My name is Hank Storm, okay?
Sorry about that, Hank. Buster McHenry. Nice to meet you.
First sign of trouble, I'll break your neck, Buster.
A tall, thick-set African-American man looks at them suspiciously.
How you doing?
Fine, how you doing?
Good. Chief here needs a little something to take back to the reservation. Put a little crack in them peace pipes. Think you can help us out?
Yeah, I think I can help you out. Come on.
Buster starts to follow the man, looking back at Hank and raising his eyebrows. The group head down an alleyway.
That's far enough, gentlemen. Now I have to see the money.
Well, we gotta see the stuff first. Wait here.
The tall man heads through some double doors into a building.
You ever been to Philadelphia before, Hank?
Nope.
Buster's peering upwards, casing the joint. An Alsatian leaps up at him behind a door as he approaches it.
No, wait. Dogs love me. Watch this. I puppy. Hello.
Buster reaches out his hand and the dog snaps at it.
Son of a bitch! Chief, there is something wrong with that dog.
Very calmly, Hank approaches the door and crouches in front of the dog. The Alsatian licks Hank's hand. With a slight smile, Hank opens the door that the dog's behind.
Hank, what the hell are you doing? Hank, close the door.
Hey, puppy.
The tall man returns with a tattoo-covered, shaven-headed white guy who has a wild look in his eyes.
Okay, I'll take the skinhead.
What's this shit?
In the alleyway, the tattooed guy gestures to the dog.
Get inside!
The tall guy stands in front of Hank and Buster menacingly. The tattooed man addresses them.
So, you're the engine.
Oh, you're sharp.
How much money are we talking about?
$1,200.
Well, let me see the money.
No.
The tattooed guy grins and pulls out a big gun.
Let me see the money, Chief.
I wouldn't call him that. He really doesn't like that.
Yeah, well, I don't give a fuck what he likes. Now!
I'd show him the money.
Why not?
Hey!
It's tucked into my boot.
Check it.
Hey, wait a second here. This is completely unnecessary. All we're trying to do here is have a clean deal.
Hank kicks the gun out of the tattooed guy's hand and punches him in the face.
Oh, shit.
Buster knees the tall guy in the crotch and headbutts him. The tall guy pushes Buster up against a wall. Hank picks up the gun off the floor.
Hank! Hank!
Hank whacks the tall guy in the back, punches him in the side, and kicks him behind his knees.
You okay?
Son of a bitch, give me the gun. It's mine.
Sorry. Come on.
They rush through a side door as a police car pulls up at the end of the alley. Two cops run towards the scene.
Okay, I'll take these guys.
A baby-faced cop with a quiff heads through the side door and up some stairs. Hank and Buster emerge through a door onto a flat roof at the top of the building. They look down over the edge. There's another flat roof below, but it's a long way down.
No way. Not today.
Freeze right there! You're under arrest!
Hank points his gun at the cop.
I'm ordering you to drop your gun now! Drop it! I said drop it!
Hank frowns at the policeman unflinchingly. The cop frowns nervously.
Drop it! It's not worth it. We got away. That's all.
The policeman's frown gets even deeper as he thinks. Hank slowly lowers his weapon without averting his gaze from the cop. The policeman continues to point his gun at the pair, who just stand and watch him. The cop takes a few steps backwards and retreats into the stairwell.
Okay, jump.
You crazy?
Hank points his gun at Buster. Buster reluctantly climbs onto the lip at the edge of the roof.
I gotta take a couple steps.
Whoa!
Hank pushes him off the roof. Hank jumps off the roof after him.
Gun. It's my gun.
Give me the goddamn gun!
I want the gun.
Yeah.
He puts the gun down.
Take it.
Hank takes a couple of steps back. Buster rushes for it. Hank lunges at him, but Buster flips him over. Hank blocks Buster's punch and lands one of his own in the cop's stomach. Buster bends over in pain. He swings another punch. Hank grabs his arm, and as he kicks out, his leg too.
Oh, shit.
Hank trips him over. Buster reaches for the gun, but Hank steps on his hand.
Well, I'm having a good time. How about you?
You're lucky I'm wounded, Chief.
Don't you think we wasted enough time? Let's go find your friend.
I'm gonna find him. He's not my friend.
In the police headquarters, Lieutenant Finch, Ransom, and the baby-faced cop are in the police captain's office.
I pursued the suspect across the roof.
You sure it was McHenry?
Yes, sir, I'm pretty sure. I pursued them across the roof. And they got away.
You can go.
Yes, sir.
The police captain gives Finch a disgruntled look.
through messing around with this guy. I want a warrant on him, McHenry.
Finch takes a sharp intake of breath and nods.
Okay.
Hank's red car pulls up on the other side of the road from Kiala's restaurant. The two men get out of the car, Hank's looking puzzled.
What are we doing here?
Trust me.
Sure.
In the restaurant, the maitre d' is on the phone.
Yes, Mr. DiBiase, how are you today? That's fine. Well, yes, we have a reservation for you at 8:30 for 4. I'll see you later, okay, Mr. DiBiase?
What
are you doing here?
You
crazy?
Hey,
shut up!
I'm out of trouble, man! What are you crazy? Don't.
The restaurant is full of diners. Hank points his gun at them.
What the fuck are you looking at? Get up against the wall now.
Right. Hey,
get on the
floor now!
Hey, move! Hey, grab a piece of the wall, asshole.
Get up against the goddamn wall now! Get up against the wall! Down! Now!
I'm really asking for it, wise guy!
The fuck ass you!
Buster tips Pastor over the guesthouse henchman.
Hey.
You move. I'll blow him out your back, you understand me?
He shoves the maitre d' into the kitchen and looks round at Hank, who shows he's got two guns now. Buster storms into the kitchen.
Get in there!
Whoa. What are you doing?
Get out of here!
What?
Get out of here!
Buster hurls the maitre d' up onto a butcher's block.
What?
One time!
What?
Where is Marino?
I don't know.
Where is he?
I don't know!
Your goddamn ass, where is he?
I don't know.
Buster cuts through the maitre d's jacket.
Where is he? Shit, man. He's at the girl's house. You know, Barbara.
Where?
The beauty parlor. The apartment over the beauty parlor.
Where?
Fucking he's like Snyder.
Get out.
The maitre d's frog marched out of the restaurant.
I watched the car, man. Okay. I didn't do that.
Did I do anything? What are you doing, man?
Hey, look. Did I do anything to you?
Come on.
What are you... Shit, man!
Hey, come on, really,
get in the goddamn trunk.
Hey, no, man, I ain't going in there, man. Please, I'm claustrophobic.
Buster shuts the boot and shows his partner that he's now holding the keys. He goes round to the driver's side of the car and exchanges a knowing smile with Hank. Marino strides towards an outside phone at his stables.
Yes. Take care of it.
Lieutenant Finch is loitering nearby.
We got the cop and the Indian. I think he wants his spear back.
If you would have checked him out with me, we wouldn't be dealing with this.
I'm sorry. It happened.
I told you, this is a clean operation, no guns.
Yeah, well, there's nothing to worry about. Take care of the cop.
No.
The two men glare at each other.
You don't like that idea, Lieutenant?
No, I don't. Now you stay out of this. I'll handle it from here on.
Finch strides away. Marino thinks to himself and yanks angrily on some leather reins hanging up beside him. Inside Hank's car...
So who is the old man? Is he your grandfather?
Father.
Is he the chief?
No, he's a Wachasha Lakon. It's a medicine man. He has visions. How about you? Your old man a cop?
He was. He had visions, too. They just weren't legal. He did 2 years in the state pen, receiving stolen property. He was in with a couple bad cops. He was the only one who did time, though.
The car parks alongside a row of shops, amongst which is the Tidal Wave Hair Salon. The two men get out of the car. Inside the salon, Barbara, Marino's pretty girlfriend with long dark hair and wearing a blue fitted jacket, is styling an older lady's hair.
Okay, Ned, here I come.
Buster and Hank saunter in. The young woman's face drops.
It's a nice place you got here.
Tell Marino I'm busy right now and I can't see him, okay?
No, you don't understand. I think we should talk back there for a sec.
You want to talk? Talk here. Ned doesn't mind, right?
I don't mind.
Yeah.
Who's your friend?
You mean the chief?
My name is Hank. Hi.
Look, you're making me nervous, okay? Talk, otherwise I don't need you guys hanging around my shop.
Excuse us, man.
They head to the back of the shop. Buster reaches for the phone on the wall.
Do me a favor and call upstairs now.
My mother lives upstairs. What, you want to talk to my mother?
Just do it.
She puts the phone back on the wall.
Do it yourself.
Is Marino upstairs or isn't he?
Well, if he is, then he must be hiding under the bed because I haven't seen or heard of him in 5 days. So you
tell
him...
Where the hell is he? I gotta speak to him.
Oh, you owe him money and you want to pay him back, right? Look, go ask one of his friends where he is, okay? I don't need this kind of shit in my shop.
This is not a goddamn joke, dear.
Buster steps back and shrugs a shoulder.
Look, Barbara, we have to find Marino, and we can't ask his friends. Can you help us out?
Who the fuck are you?
Hank looks round at Buster, dumbstruck. He looks to the heavens and turns his back on Barbara sulkily. Buster looks a little weary.
Look, I don't want trouble in my shop. Why don't you guys just leave, okay?
Buster looks round. Approaching the front of the shop are three gangsters with submachine guns.
Oh, God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Get out!
They rush out of the back door into the path of more gunmen. Hank returns fire, and they retreat back into the salon. The three men out front fire their guns at the shop window, and it shatters. The other hairdressers duck as they rush to the back of the shop. Customers cower in their seats as the bullets rain down around them. One has some of her curlers blown off as she tries to run for cover. Hank and Buster return fire through the backroom doorway. One of the gangsters is shot in the chest and falls to the ground. Lamps, mirrors, and hairstyling products all explode in the onslaught. Annette is cowering under a counter. Another mirror smashes. Suddenly a gunman bursts through the back door. They again rush out of the back door and through a little yard. The two gangsters out front leap over their bullet-ridden cars towards the shop. Buster, Hank and Barbara rush down a side street. The two remaining gunmen rush through the shop. Buster runs round a corner straight into two police patrolmen.
What the hell is going on?
There are two guys coming down the alley with guns. Go, go, hurry!
The gunmen rush towards them.
Freeze! Drop your weapons! Freeze!
As the cops pursue the gangsters, Buster, Hank and Barbara make a swift exit along the pavement away from the scene with an occasional backwards glance. Then they're heading down some steps into a subway station. The group head along a platform. Again, Buster's got a firm grip on Barbara's arm. He speaks to Hank.
You gotta promise me you'll let me take Marino alive.
A train has pulled up beside them.
Sorry, I just can't do that.
Hank gets into the train first. Buster and Barbara enter next and stand in the train's doorway.
I wish you'd change your mind.
Buster shoves Hank into the train as he and Barbara jump out. Hank presses his nose against the closed doors of the train. Buster and Barbara are standing on the platform.
I had to do it. He would have screwed things up. Come on.
Inside the carriage, Hank looks furious. The train emerges out of a tunnel. Hank shoves past a group of young men and looks out of the window. He sees another train coming in an opposite direction along the adjacent track. He opens a door and stands in the space between the carriages. He's climbing up onto the roof of the train. The young men watch, impressed. Hank clambers up onto the top of the train. He crouches on the roof and watches as the adjacent train hurtles past. He runs along the roof and flings himself onto the other train, landing in a heap. He looks ahead. The train is entering a low tunnel. Just at the last second, he drops down between the carriages. Buster and Barbara head down a crowded street.
Excuse me.
Buster looks round.
No way.
Hank is following them some way off.
Yeah. Why, you lost him, okay?
They cross a road. Hank moves across the road too with a determined look. Buster glances backwards a couple of times and quickens his pace. Hank is glaring forwards through the crowds on the pavement. Buster bumps into an old lady and knocks gift boxes out of her grasp. Oh. Buster picks up the boxes.
You over here?
Yes, I've got a taxi over here. Thank you.
could do me a huge favor. While we're talking, look over my shoulder and tell me if you see an Indian following me.
The old lady looks confused and peers over Buster's shoulder.
Yeah, a whole tribe. With war paint. Coming this way. Excuse me.
She gets into her taxi.
You have a nice day.
It's early evening. Marino is being driven in a sleek black BMW along a road bridge towards the city. Buster is still marching Barbara along the pavement.
Where do you keep your car?
Outside the beauty parlor.
What about money?
Excuse me, I forgot to take my purse.
Buster stops and spots Hank in the middle of the crowds on the other side of the street. Buster changes direction and rushes Barbara towards some revolving glass doors. Hank watches this and stops walking. In Hank's brother's house, the two children are met by their mother on the landing. Their grandfather steps out of his room.
Hey, Ma. I want you to do something for me. Take the kids to the store and buy them something for me.
You being too noisy?
No.
Bring on my head.
Okay. Let's go.
The old man's smile drops, and he stands looking thoughtful at the top of the stairs. Buster and Barbara are striding through a department store.
Good, I can lose him in here. This will only take a minute.
You're a real lunatic, you know that, a crazy man.
Just give me 5 minutes, will you?
Hank has entered the store and is trying to locate them. Hank bumps into someone as he passes them. Hank continues with his search, moving swiftly past the perfume and makeup counters. Hank stops and looks round. Hank and Buster both quicken their pace. Hank stops again and thinks to himself. Meanwhile, his father is standing in a small bedroom. Some more incense is burning in a little bowl he is holding. He starts moving the bowl around in front of him in a prayer ritual. In the department store, Hank seems lost in his thoughts. He appears to snap out of it and continues his search. Buster is still looking round, trying to see him. In the bedroom, his father lifts his head and continues his prayer. Hank looks a little shocked for a moment. Buster and Barbara are looking round. Barbara is rolling her eyes. Hank continues his search. A blonde, curly-haired assistant approaches him.
Sir, may I help you?
No.
Hank rushes off and carries on looking for his prey. Barbara and Buster are watching him.
Pardon me. Excuse me, sir. Can I help you?
Give me the phone, please. We better get security down here right away. Please.
Hank turns a few times, surveying the shop. Suddenly, he smashes his hand down into a little glass table. His hand's now covered in blood. A crowd of shoppers are gathering round him. He slowly pulls out the little stone his father gave him out of his jacket and looks at it.
See ya.
Jesus Christ.
I don't think he's all right. Is this gentleman here? I think there's something wrong with him.
A smartly dressed man with a polka dot tie addresses Hank.
All right, sir, if you'll come with me now.
He touches Hank's arm, but Hank shoves him off.
God damn it.
Well, the store doesn't want any trouble. We'll take care of your hand for you and we'll get all this.
Police officer, freeze. Don't move.
Yeah, we'll take care of this. That's all right.
You guys have done a phenomenal job already. Thank you. This asshole's been pretending he's an Indian all over the city.
I want a badge and a beer.
Fuck off, asshole. I'm making an arrest.
The manager looks a little huffy but doesn't resist. Buster hands Hank his gun.
Here. So what'd you do? Jump off the train?
Pretty slick.
What the hell are you doing here?
Nothing in my size.
Here.
Buster hands Hank a rag for his hand.
Come on, Hank. I have to see my father.
In the house, Hank's father is laying out items of traditional Native American clothing. There's a breastplate and a fur hat with horns sticking out of it.
It's open.
Evening. I'm Lieutenant Michael Finch. I'm with the Philadelphia Police Department. I'd like to ask you a few questions. You have a son named Hank Storm?
Yes.
Well, we have reason to believe that your son has been seen with a police officer. Where?
Marino and his men barge in.
What are you doing here?
I need to know where the Indian and his friend are.
I told you to stay out of this.
Please tell me.
You came to the wrong place.
The old man flings a knife at Marino, but a henchman takes the hit. JJ fires at the Native American and he's thrown backwards. Looking shocked, Finch crouches over the body of the old man.
Oh no. Oh no. Damn it! What the hell did you do?
He pulled a knife.
What the hell did you do? Drop it!
Hey!
Drop it!
JJ drops his weapon and is pushed backwards by Finch.
Now who do you think you are?
I have the diamonds.
No, we're not talking about the diamonds anymore! The man is dead! What the hell's he gonna tell us now?
Ask him.
Marino saunters out.
Out.
With a shrug, JJ leaves too. Finch slams the front door shut and thinks. A taxi heads down a city street. Buster, Barbara, and Hank are sitting in the back of it. Hank has wrapped the rag around his hand and it's now bloodstained. Barbara glances round at Hank, who's lost in thought. The road outside the Philadelphia house is wet from recent rain as the taxi slowly pulls up outside. Hank is quickly out of the cab. He strides towards the house. The others follow more slowly. Buster speaks to the cab driver.
Wait right here.
Buster glances back at the empty street and heads towards the house. Hank is now standing in the doorway looking down at the dead body of his father. Without averting his gaze, he takes slow steps to the body and crouches beside it. The others enter the room. Buster stops Barbara in the doorway. He pulls out his gun and, crouching, he checks the dead body of the knifed henchman. Hank reaches down and slowly picks the broken medicine stone out of the hand of his father. He holds it in both hands and stares at it. Buster puts his gun away, and he and Barbara continue watching Hank. Hank stands up slowly, still looking thoughtfully down at the body.
Hank, we gotta go. I was doing it all for him.
Then you gotta keep on it. Come on.
Hank turns towards the door, then stops and looks down at his dad one last time. He follows the other two out of the room. The group heads slowly down the front steps and up to the waiting taxi. They're about to get in it. A car speeding down the street towards them. A figure leans out of it and starts firing at them. The car stops and Marino's men get out and fire at the taxi. Buster returns fire, using the taxi door as cover. Barbara cowers on the back seat. She suddenly rushes out of the taxi. From his car, Marino shoots her with a single shot to the chest. She looks round in shock at Buster and drops to the ground. Buster and Hank fire at the gangster's car, which reverses away down the street. Police cars are approaching. Buster crouches over Barbara's body.
Hank!
Give me an ambulance!
Hank sighs as the police cars arrive.
Hank! Drop your gun! Do it now! Your hands behind your head, both of you! Now! Hands behind your head!
Looking shocked, Buster puts his hands behind his head as a police car stops in front of him.
Up against the car!
Hey,
The two men are handcuffed as more policemen rush to the scene. Onlookers start to mingle with police. Lieutenant Finch speaks to one of the cops.
I'll take over from here. Get yourself another man and check inside the house.
I'll get it!
Buster and Hank are face down over a car bonnet, their hands handcuffed behind their backs.
Take over, officer.
We got it under control.
You got a problem with that? Come on, take him along. Come on.
Finch leads them away.
Mike, I'm sorry.
Shut up.
They stop beside a dented black car which has had part of its door resprayed white. Buster is thrown down onto the car bonnet and thinks.
All right, wait here.
Mike?
Put him in the car.
Whose car is this?
Hank is put into the back of the car by one of the cops just as Ransom arrives.
Well, well, well. Look who we got here.
Hiya, Lieutenant.
You take the car back, I'll ride with them.
Is this your car, Mike?
Yeah, get in.
Buster looks concerned as he's pushed into the back of the car. Ransom moves past Finch and shakes his head at him. With a weary expression, Finch gets into his car.
Are you a regular crime wave, McHenry? You must run in the family.
Back off, Denny. Listen to me, Buster. You're in real trouble this time, you know that? Murder, armed robbery. You got anything to say to me?
Give him to me for 10 minutes, he'll talk.
Shut up. Talk to me, Buster. You said you were going under to find a cop. What about that?
I haven't found him yet. But I will.
How close are you?
Real close.
The car slows down along a dark street, at the end of which is the police station. Finch sighs as he stops the car nearby.
"12 hours. If I gave you 12 hours, could you find him?
Mike, don't do this.
He's a cop on my squad, I'll say what he does.
There's a warrant out. You can't let him go.
12 hours. Can you do it?
Yeah. I'll bring you him. And there's $6 million in diamonds.
The report I read said $2 million.
No. No, I was there. I opened the safe. Six at least.
Finch stares at his steering wheel and frowns.
Fine. Okay, let's go.
Jesus.
Help the Indian. I said help the Indian.
Finch and Ransom get out of the car. Hank and Buster exchange glances. They're helped out of the car and their cuffs removed. Finch leans in close to Buster and wags his finger at him.
You bring him back with the diamonds to me. I'm trusting you, Buster. It's my ass.
Okay.
Finch pats Buster on the arm and pulling his raincoat around himself, the lieutenant gets back in the car.
I owe you, Lieutenant.
Finch attempts a smile and the car moves off. Hank steps up to Buster, who's staring down the street at Finch's car.
That car was there when my father was killed.
That's right.
He was a friend?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So am I.
They walk off. A little later in the police station, Finch is sitting at his desk, looking troubled. He picks up a little framed photo and looks at it. Buster leads Hank into the police station car park. They pause beside a dark car. Finch gets up from his seat. He switches off his desk light and picks up his coat. Ransom's standing in the doorway.
Where are you going?
Marino's Ranch?
Finch stops and stares at Ransom.
You son of a bitch.
Man's got to make a living. I'll go with you.
Ransom follows Finch out of the office with a wry smile. In the car park, Buster tries the handle of a black car. He opens the front door of a blue car beside it and looks pointedly at Hank. They both get into the car and watch as Finch and Ransom march into the car park in front of them. Buster looks shocked.
Good. Now I can get both of them.
The two senior policemen get into Finch's dark car, which moves out of the station car park. It heads off down the street just as Buster's newly commandeered car emerges out of the car park and heads after them. Finch's car drives down a long, straight country road. Finch looks in his rearview mirror at the headlights in the distance. Ransom turns and notices them too. He chuckles to himself.
He's too smart for his own good.
Finch's car slows and its headlights go out. Beside a leafless tree, it turns down a side road. Buster, in his car, is suddenly looking around anxiously. His car stops quickly next to the turnoff for the side road.
Damn it!
Go right.
Right?
Yes, right.
The car reverses slightly and moves off down the side road. Finch's car heads along a low bridge and over a cable-shaped sensor lying across the road. Inside a plush log cabin, Marino and half a dozen gangsters are playing cards.
Check it out.
Three of the heavies get up from their tables. Buster's car reaches a crossroads and stops.
Straight.
No, I think we should go left.
No, there's too many houses that way. He doesn't want neighbors. Right leads back to the highway. Straight ahead.
With a slight shake of the head, Buster drives the car forwards. Finch's car pulls up outside the log cabin, which is guarded by armed heavies. Their hands stuffed into their raincoats, Finch and Ransom get out of the car and trudge past the guards. Finch frowns at one as he passes him. Inside the cabin, Ransom warms his hands by the fire. Finch stands in front of the seated Marino.
We gotta talk.
Upstairs.
Buster's car pulls up at a bend in the road, and he and Hank get out.
Damn it!
Now you got us completely lost. We gotta still be on the main road.
In the moonlight, Hank bends down and touches a muddy track at his feet.
Come on, let's go! What the hell do you think you're doing?
This way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Trust me, I'm the Indian around here.
Great.
In the log cabin.
Want a drink, Mike?
No.
I'm having one. What about you, Bobby?
Not when I play poker. What do you want, Mike?
Taking all their money?
Anyone who's not happy is free to leave the game.
Ransom sits on a leather sofa. Finch paces around.
6 million in diamonds, Bobby. Not two.
Caught McHenry.
He let him go. Try to tell him.
What the fuck are you doing?
Hey, watch your mouth, Bobby.
I don't watch my mouth.
Now, who do you think you're talking to? One of your slugs downstairs?
I don't take shit from you. I have other cops besides you.
You don't have me!
Who could take care of
Well, like Ransom? Who else you got? You're a punk when I met you, Bobby, and you still are. I should have walked away from you a long time ago.
I'm a punk, and you're a dirty cop. Who do you think respects you?
Finch glares at him.
Give me my cut. We're finished.
Finch moves away. Marino nods darkly and sighs.
Where's McHenry now?
He followed us. Him and the other guy.
The Indian?
Yeah.
Good.
Marino turns to Finch, who's lighting a cigarette, frowning.
McHenry's got to go, Mike. You know that.
Look. Kid's father was my friend.
We both could have done some time. But he took the rap.
Marino steps up to him.
You could still do some time, Mike.
Inside Buster's car, Hank looks out of the rear window.
Stop the car.
What now?
They get out of the car. Hank crouches at the back of it and lifts the cable sensor that they've just driven over.
Son of a bitch.
Roll over it a few times.
Hank remains standing by the side of the car as Buster gets back into it and reverses over the sensor. In the log cabin, Marino's heavies are arming themselves.
God damn, how many of them out there?
They were alone.
They don't sound like that to me. Let's go.
The henchmen leave, followed by the two senior cops. Marino picks up the stolen spearhead off a dresser. Buster and Hank hurry away from the car into the woodland. Marino and his men are gathered at the front of the log cabin.
Benji, stay in the house. Lights on.
Marino's men move off into the darkness. The gang boss lingers for a moment and sticks the spear into one of the cabin's wooden pillars.
Here, you want it? Come and get it.
He pulls out his gun.
Let's go.
The remaining gang members follow him. Meanwhile, Buster and Hank peer out from behind some trees at two armed men patrolling by a river. Hank gestures to Buster to wait, and he heads towards them. Marino is leading Finch Ransom and another guy through the trees. By the river, Hank creeps up behind the rearmost gunman and pulls him to the ground. Buster punches the one in front. The villains are out cold. Buster and Hank steal their guns and head off. Marino, Finch and Ransom are patrolling around the perimeter of the cabin. They stop and look round anxiously.
JJ, see where Frank and Rob are.
Now armed with the submachine guns, Buster and Hank are moving swiftly through the woodland, lit only by splashes of moonlight piercing the trees. JJ approaches the body of one of the gunmen on the riverbank and crouches beside it. JJ gets up and rushes away. Meanwhile, Buster and Hank stop behind some trees and peer forwards. The log cabin is close by. Buster glances at Hank.
Come on.
Buster rushes off. Hank stares at the Lakota spear in the front of the cabin. JJ steps up to Marino and Finch.
Frank and Rob both down.
Who's out there?
I don't know. I didn't see no crowd out there.
The Indian will go for the house.
Buster and Hank step gingerly through the wood. A gunman fires at them.
Shoot a flare.
The flare lights up the area beside the stables where Hank and Buster are positioned. Marino and Finch, crouching behind hay bales, open fire. Buster and Hank rush into the stables in a shower of bullets.
Daddy, let's cover the back.
Finch and Ransom hurry away from the bales. Inside the stables, Buster and Hank are moving cautiously along the entrances to the horses' stalls. Buster's pointing his gun up at the roof. Marino speaks to JJ.
Shoot two flares in the loft. You sure?
Do it.
JJ stands beside a tree and fires a flare in through a stable window, setting the straw around where it lands alight.
Shit!
From their vantage point, Finch and Ransom watch with concern. Marino shuts his eyes nervously as another flare lands in the hay in the loft. A gunman fires down at Hank and Buster from the top of the stables. Hank blasts him back and the villain falls out of the back of the building. JJ rejoins Marino and they watch the stable start to burn. Finch and Ransom watch too as the flames take hold of the building and smoke pours off the roof. Inside, Hank and Buster are opening the doors of the stalls and letting the horses out.
Can you ride?
No. You go.
I'll cover you.
Holding the two pieces of the medicine stone, Hank hands one half of it to Buster.
It's good luck.
Buster tosses it up and catches it.
Couldn't hurt. Move.
Outside, Marino and his men continue to watch the burning wooden building with their guns trained on it. The stable door opens slowly. A cloud of smoke billows out of it. Marino's horses gallop through it to freedom.
Stop the horses! Hold your fire!
Buster fires at Marino through an open window. In the confusion, Hank rides bareback on one of the horses out of the stables. Buster fires a pump-action shotgun out of the window. Marino returns fire. A fuel tank explodes behind him. The horses are galloping towards the log cabin. One of Marino's men stands outside it and fires at them. Hank rides towards him, undaunted. Hank pulls out his gun and fires at the gangster, hitting him in the chest. Hank slows the horse as it reaches the house. The Native American grits his teeth as he stares at the Lakota spear. He pulls the artifact from the wooden pillar. The stable is burning fiercely. Buster bursts through the stable doors on a motorbike. He speeds off into the trees. Ransom emerges from behind a tree and fires at him. Buster ducks slightly as the bullets fly and rides towards the cop. At the last moment, he jumps from the bike, which continues and crashes into Ransom, knocking him over. Buster aims his gun in the direction of Ransom without response. He gets to his feet, Finch appears, and Buster fires at him.
Buster!
Come on, you son of a bitch!
Shoot!
Come on!
You don't understand.
I trusted you, Mike.
Nobody else gotta get hurt here.
Is that what you said to my old man?
He didn't have to go down. He made a bad move. That's all.
So'd you, Mike. Put your hands on your head.
No.
From nearby, Marino shoots Finch. The police chief discharges his gun as he staggers backwards. He falls forwards and manages a final pleading look at Buster before he flops onto the ground, dead. Buster looks up at Marino, who now aims the gun at him. Buster lowers his head, ready for his final moment. Hank charges towards Marino on horseback, brandishing the spear. One of Marino's men appears and knocks Hank off the horse with a burning club. Hank stabs the man and swings him round to take the bullet meant for him from Marino's gun. Marino fires again at Hank. Hank throws the knife at him, but he dodges it. Buster picks up the burning Lakota spear and hurls it at Marino. Its shaft now on fire, the spear flies through the air and lodges in the gangster's chest. Grimacing with pain and anguish, Marino trembles and tries desperately to pull the weapon out. He falls on his knees, then drops onto his back. Blood trickles from his mouth. His hand flops limply onto the ground, and he breathes his last. Still lying on his front, Buster shuts his eyes and rests his chin on the ground. He looks round at Hank, who sits up awkwardly in some pain. Buster kneels up amidst the burning woodland, which is scattered with dead bodies. Sometime later, Hank is leading a party on horseback across the hilly terrain of his native country.
This valley, what you see here, is where our grandfather's grandfathers fought the last big battle before we signed the treaty. It was the Battle of Round Ridge. Cavalry outnumbered us 2-1, we still kicked their butts. the last time the lance was carried into battle. Cavalry came in from over here in the north. Our people were here on this ridge.
A white car is approaching, coming down the hill along a dusty path. Hank watches with a wry smile as Buster gets out of the car.
Hey! You're under arrest.
Buster?
Hank gets down from his horse and they shake hands.
How you doing, Chief?
Good. It's good to be back. How about you? You're a long way from home.
Yeah, well, they made me leave town for my vacation this time. I'm actually on probation. My story's stuck, though. It looks like everything's gonna be okay. I might even get a commendation for this after the investigation's over.
You might even deserve it.
Yeah. I really came out here just to say thanks. I didn't get a chance.
Hank appears thoughtful.
I'm gonna be staying in a motel for a couple days in town if you wanted to find me.
He steps back towards his car.
I found you last time.
Yeah, you did.
Hank smiles at Buster, who gets back into the car. Hank climbs back onto his brown and white dappled horse. The horse retreats slightly as Buster's car drives past and heads off along the dusty road, off towards the horizon dominated by mighty mountains, the rugged scenery of the Lakota tribe's ancient homeland. The end.